take it on down from Muscle Shoals through Decatur. Over Spanish Fort into Mobile, my hometown. Mr. T.
Welcome back to the Jeff Porch Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thank you so much for listening on this Friday morning. We do appreciate it. Still to come on the program, April Marie Fogle of Alabama today. Congressman Barry Moore of the 2nd Congressional District and wind it all down with State Senator Chris Elliott. That is yet to come here on the program. 251-343-0106. Hit us up on that text line. That's the best way to do it this morning if you want to respond, react to anything going on in the world. And there's certainly a lot going on in the world. Joining us now, always a pleasure to bring on my next guest, our listeners in the semi-northern part of our listening area, are represented by this gentleman in the Alabama State Senate, State Senator Greg Albritton on the line with us. Senator, good morning. How are you?
I'm fine. Thanks. Thanks for having me, Jeff.
Hey, thank you for taking time. We always appreciate it. Before we hit the state stuff here, you and I are talking a little bit off air kind of about what was going on in Afghanistan and the way, I mean, I just want to get your thoughts on that situation, though, but certainly, I guess disappointing would be the way to describe it.
That would be a nice euphemistic term for it. I feel the way the same as most other military folks do, and that is not just disappointed, flat out angry at what's happened here and what I see and the danger that's going on.
Yeah, and there's just so much the Biden administration's really fumbled on, but you know, I think a lot of Americans will tolerate, you know, screwing up a COVID policy on the margins or marginal tax rates or something like that. But when it comes to American prestige, I mean, that's something. I mean, that's something that has wide ranging implications, particularly for, you know, anybody who has a family member or anybody who has served in the military. It's just a bad look all around.
Well, the looks are bad enough, but the lives are even more so. To hear that Marines, Army, and Navy personnel have been taken out because of the ineptitude of the commander-in-chief is it's quite damning, I think.
Senator, things have seem to have slowed down. Now, I assume y'all are still very, very busy, but there's so much else going on that maybe people aren't as engaged. You still, it does sound like you're really, really close on working out some kind of agreement on the prison situation. Is that accurate or fair?
If you'd asked me a couple of days ago, I'd have been much more optimistic than today. There's a lot of agreement on a lot of things, but there continues to be disagreement over key things. So we're still working on it. We're still meeting. We're still having discussions, even as we speak. And we hope to be able to get there, but it is not an easy path.
Is it any particular issue that is a major hurdle, you think?
Well, there's two or three major issues that are sticking points right now that right now I'm aware of. I mean, there could be more. I don't know yet. But there's still enough out there to cause concern as to whether we can move forward or not. We hope so, and we continue to work in an optimistic manner together to try to find a path or a way to overcome those obstacles, and we're still working on that. We've got to do something. We can't. The status quo is untenable right now.
Senator, one of the things, I don't know if this is one of those sticking points, but the use of federal money and getting a green light from the Biden administration or Department of Treasury telling you that you can take, you know, the money, give it to the states through COVID relief, to apply toward new prison construction. Does that still seem to be so far so good, or what can you tell us about that?
Not a lot. We haven't gotten anything new from the feds at this point. We've combed through all of the directions and such, and it still appears that there's appropriate uses of this money for this, for the constructions in some ways and some manners. But you know, there's more complications to that, and that is that that money, there's demands for that money from everybody. We have a particular amount that's available, and the demands are about three times that that's available. And then we still have the prison problem. So there's complications, but it's not just the feds hold up in that. That's a part of it, but it's more complicated than that.
Do you think? But do you think it's still feasible or still reasonable to think that you could get something worked out where you would be able to call a special session before the end of the year?
We hope so. That's why I'm still working on it, is so that we can get this resolved before we go into regular session. This is a difficult enough. I've been told by several folks that's been involved with this industry that what we're trying to accomplish here is the toughest thing that they've done their whole careers, okay? That's from a legislative side and from a professional side. So we're tackling a big, big line guy here, okay? It's not an easy takedown. But we're still working on it. We're still jumping on.
Hey, it sounds like you're still meeting almost weekly, I would assume, but a lot of that, I guess, the governor's office involved in this part of the process?
Oh, certainly. Certainly. The governor's office is highly involved with this. And it's not just weekly. I mean, every day there's phone calls and meetings among legislators, among staff members, among vendors, among others. Cabinet members, this is highly engaged by all hands.
Yeah, and I don't know if you could talk any about the specifics of what you got ahead, but it does sound like maybe perhaps that we'd get a women's prison as well in this big overall plan.
Well, a women's prison is not something that's, from a legal standpoint, from the federal lawsuits that's there, the women's prison is not necessarily an issue. It's more of a political issue, but it is an issue, and it's an important issue, and it is being discussed. We don't have a solution on that yet, no.
Well, we'll keep an eye on that. Same goes for reapportionment, and you do have some other outstanding monies available from COVID-19 that you got to do something with. I suppose that there's still some outstanding business that probably needs to be dealt with more sooner than rather than later.
Well, you have a point there, but most of the money from the first round of COVID, which was last year, has been dispensed. That's been dispersed, I should say, to all those, to the full extent of what we had available. The second, set of monies came in, sometime in the latter part of May. And that money, part of that is sitting now. That money has to be appropriated by the legislature. And in the manner and the means in which the legislature agrees, there's normal process and approved by statute by the governor. So the demands are stacking up, but that's going to have to be done during a session, whether it's a special session or regular session.
Do you find that I don't know, is there obviously you're going to have a special session for reapportionment. There's no way around that. But is there, beyond the prison issue, anything else that might be tacked on to that? There's.
You mean other than the art money that we just talked about? That would have to be done in that special, probably too.
Yeah.
If you're going to use any of that federal money for the prisons, or if you're going to dispense part of it now or do some of it later. That would be a part of it. Yeah.
Well, is there a deadline on that?
Yeah. We have to have that money appropriated or committed, I should say, by 2024, and it has to all be spent by 2026. So that's one of the issues dealing with the prisons matter is if we do particular ways, it has to be spent. The prisons have to be constructed by that point if we're going to use that. Does that make sense?
Oh, so the money, when you say the money has to be spent, you can't just say we're going to spend this money on it. Actually, literally has to be spent.
Well, we have to say it's going to be spent by the 24th, April, correction, by 2024, okay? That has to be appropriated by then. But it has to be spent, dispersed, as I understand it, by 2026.
And wasn't that the same hang-up with some of the money putting it toward rural broadband and things like that in that last round?
Yep, exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
You didn't know that you could spend that much money that fast.
You couldn't. Exactly. That's a one difficult circumstance. You got the money, but you can't spend it.
I mean, isn't that something, the way such is our federal bureaucracy these days? Senator, let's move on to something else. COVID-19 it's coming back. Well, maybe it's, let's hope that it's on the, we're on the back end of this comeback, but it is coming back with a vengeance. And you see the statistics, the daily counts, the lack of ICU beds. How what are you hearing from your folks in your district?
We hear the same thing that we're hearing that you're talking about. We, at this point, it appears that we are keeping up. We don't have a lot of room to spare, but we're keeping up. And frankly, Jeff, we are able to keep up because of all the things that we learned and did last year. Last year, it came upon us and we didn't have anything. We didn't have, not only did we run out of beds real quick, but we didn't have the equipment. We didn't know how to treat it. We had no vaccines. This year, at least, we have vaccines. We have treatment plans and methodologies that we know about that work and can use. We have somewhat preparations for the beds, and we can move things around a little better than we could have. And we have more methods and procedures for treating them. So we're a lot better off than we were last year in that regard. And so far, it's working, and we're keeping up with demands at this point.
Do you find one of the big hot buttons is vaccinations and what should be done there? Do you think there's anything else the state government even should be doing to get that vaccination rate up, or is it just something that hopefully people come around on?
Well, this is an individual choice. The problem here was the marketing strategy of that was disjointed, conflicting, and confusing. And that's why we have the problems we have here. It's a matter of trust. It's a matter of whether this A will work and B, what else will it do to me? And those questions were not asked were not responded to very well. And we have people in doubt as to whether they should or shouldn't now. And things change. Last year, the vulnerability was the older set. This now is the younger set. It's the kids. And the middle-aged folks that seemed to be invulnerable before. It's changed somewhat there. So we have done a poor job from a government standpoint of selling the product, and now we're suffering those consequences, and the people are too. We just got to keep harping on the point that this works and that we need to get the vaccines. I got my vaccine. I'll tell you that. I'm not normally a vaccinated guy, but I went ahead and got this early on. I'm glad I did, and I encourage others to do so.
Yeah, and it just seems like I guess one of the poison pill here for me, it seemed, and I am vaccinated as well. Just put that out there. But once they started politicizing it and making it about a certain political category where the anti-vaxxers and a certain political category where the pro-vaxxers, I mean that didn't do anybody any good. It seemed.
Well, it did not. It did not. It became, it was. It is nothing but a political football to a large extent. And by so being, it's alienated two groups. Alienated the Democrats because they don't trust it because Trump got it, and it alienated the Republicans because Trump got it, but it can't be trusted. You know, don't force me to do it. So there's a whole spectrum there, and we've alienated so many folks in that way. It's a tragedy how that happened, but again, that's how it was. Sold and how it was dispersed, starting, I guess, back in December, January.
Joined by State Senator Greg Allbritton here on the program. Senator, the something else I saw, Will Barfoot has a bill. I don't think it actually explicitly states critical race theory, but it seems to come out of the that debate. I saw your name on this bill that would forbid teaching of certain ideologies that invoke race or gender, one being better than the other. Tell us where you are in that these days. That's certainly been a big topic of discussion on the state level, but it seems like the legislature is going to get active in that arena soon.
Yeah, I think we're going to, and I think we should. The CRT, if you will, from what I know of it and from my experience with it, it is teaching hate. It is teaching, and emphasizing, our differences rather than our community and our commonality. And that's where we're falling apart, unfortunately, as a society, is we can't seem to see beyond the surface physical ways of where we are and where we might be a little different, but it certainly avoids or discounts the aspects of where we are common, where our community is, and where we are as people, as humanity. That's my problem with CRT.
Senator, we got to leave it there. We're out of time, but you were very kind to come on a regular basis. We do appreciate it.
No, always glad to be there. Appreciate your patience with me.
Anytime. Your patience with me as well. State Senator Greg Allbritton, ladies and gentlemen, we got to get a break here. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.